All right, y'all, we're live. Good evening. Good evening. Yours truly, Dr. Barry Pierre, favorite board certified internist. You're catching another episode of The Real Physician Reacts, and I have a special guest here. All right, go ahead and introduce yourself. Like, we try to do like the guest live, but apparently with TikTok, if y'all both don't have the live function, you can't, which is weird, but you know, right? That's TikTok. Go ahead and introduce yourself for the viewers.
I am Maria Davis Pierre. I am the wife to Dr. Barry. I am a licensed clinician in the state of Florida, and I'm also the CEO and founder of Autism in Black.
Yes. So first of all, thank you for joining. Make sure you hit that like, hit the hearts, hit the shares. We appreciate y'all. Again, if this is your first time catching it, I typically do every Thursday evenings. I come here and I talk about something that comes across my social media feed. And like it was like a match made in heaven, right? When this news kind of dropped, right? So, full disclosure, as you can see, you know, we got the shirts, we got the logos going on. This weekend, right? This past weekend was our fourth annual Autism in Black conference. Amazing, right? Like, follow her, Autism in Black, for more details. Like, just phenomenal stuff going on there. I'm like the tech support over there, right? So I don't really talk about Autism Black much on this channel, but on her channel, right? Especially if you have families, caretakers, you work, you are in that circle, you know who you are. This is the person you need to follow. But today we're gonna talk about something that kind of came across my social media feed. I don't know if anyone of you guys are familiar, right? Thank you for the hearts. I appreciate you. We love y'all. And say, if you got questions, especially for the CEO of Autism in Black, make sure you hit them in the chat. We will get to them. So I'm on my social media feed. If you guys know, I'm pretty sure you do. Shannon Sharp has a pretty popular podcast and video, and he does sports and everything else. So we love Shannon for that. He recently had a guest, Amanda Seals, who... First of all, great discussion. I suggest you check that out. It's about 3 hours long. So if you got some time, definitely suggest you check that out. But for those who may not know, she recently came out and said she was autistic. Now, during her 3 hour, again, like I said, and I really want to stress this because I think a lot of time, and this happens a lot, y'all know me, this happens a lot during when I talk about health related issues, that sometimes people will take a snippet and then run with it. You already understand how that goes, right? Like, they'll take a snippet and then run with it. And there was a portion where she kind of mentioned how she wasn't diagnosed by a medical doctor. And people took
Shannon Sharp interview, she did say she was diagnosed and went through the evaluation. I think she had a live.
Her live stream where she said, I wasn't, you know, diagnosed by, and $10,000, whole nother discussion there. We can actually talk to you about that whole, because first of all, a lot of people think she's exaggerating on that part, right? Mm-hmm. So we can talk about it, but like. So people took that little clip and said, oh, here she goes purporting that she's autistic, but she hasn't been diagnosed by a medical doctor. So I told my wife, I said, hey, I know you don't like doing lives. She really don't, y'all. I had to force her to come on, let's be honest. She don't like doing lives, but I told her, you need to come on and talk, because that type of, I don't even want to call it disinformation. I hate to call it that, because that shows some intent, mm-hmm. right? But just a level of clarity that I felt that I wouldn't be doing justice unless I had, you know, the big boss on here, right? So again, for those who, this may be their first time even hearing about Autism Black, give a little bit of your backstory just so they know that it's not some random person talking to them.
Okay, so Autism in Black has been around since 2016, officially. Before that, it was incorporated as part of my private practice as a licensed therapist in the state of Florida. For those of you who don't know, our oldest child, who is 11, is autistic.
And if you don't catch the product placement going on, y'all, that is a book that she did. Mm-hmm. Like, so if y'all don't catch that, I mean, y'all, for those who follow me know how I do with the product placement. So right in the middle, this ain't just by accident, y'all. Y'all know how I do. Apologize. Go ahead.
Thank you. So our 11-year-old got her autism diagnosis at 18 months. And it was a very trying time of going through that journey of getting her that diagnosis. We saw many different professionals, all of which agreed she was autistic, but wanted to wait until she was after she was age 3 to give her the official diagnosis. Being a clinician, I knew about the importance of early intervention. I also knew if she didn't have a diagnosis by a medical professional, insurance would not cover certain things as far as certain therapies, speech therapy, occupational physical therapy. So we needed her to have a diagnosis to be able to cover the therapies, right?
And when we say diagnosis, again, the traits were there, but because it wasn't like stamped, because it wasn't stamped by a medical doctor, those services that we would have needed to start at the age we needed it to start wouldn't have been able to start.
Exactly. Or we would have had to pay it out of pocket because the insurance wouldn't have covered it. And we just didn't want to go that route. So, and since everybody was agreeing that she was autistic, what was the need to go that route? So it actually ended up with me sitting in the pediatric neurologist's office for a week doing a little boycott, a little sit-in there to get that medical paperwork for her. And we knew at that time, with us both being healthcare professionals and having the education privilege, having the financial privilege, if it was difficult for us to maneuver getting this diagnosis for our child, what did that mean for our community? Nobody's talking about autism in the Black community, right? Especially at that time. There wasn't like groups that I could go to and have my community and talk about these things. That information wasn't coming to our community. So to bridge that gap, we started Autism in Black officially. And as we've grown, we've had our twins, and our son has a autism diagnosis. 3 years ago, I got a autism diagnosis. Our organization now has our conference, our podcast, we do webinars, and we train organizations to be less harmful to the Black disability community. So in a little quick nutshell, that's what Autism in Black does.
And just so you guys can kind of understand just kind of the steps that had to occur because of all of the hurdles that need to occur. And this is a person who knew the hurdles. A lot of people don't know all of the hurdles that are kind of set forth. And she kind of brushed by it. But I think it's important, the fact that she was diagnosed as an autistic just 3 years ago. So she went through her life with the traits, it was never diagnosed. And so you can understand, you know, those thoughts and feelings, right? And that's why I really wanted her to come on here, because she can understand a little bit what Amanda's feeling. And for those, again, if you know Amanda Seals, you know historically, you know, what she's been kind of characterized by and how she's been interpreted by her actions. And for her to, you know, be willing, right? To be willing to say, hey, like, I have this diagnosis is a huge hurdle, right? It's a huge hurdle that is there. So obviously, you know, when I see that, unfortunately, the narrative is starting to turn and say, hey, you know, based off what she said on the live, I don't even think she's autistic. I was like, wow. And that's why I felt like, all right, we need a little bit more clarity on the steps needed really just to get to said diagnosis. Because what she said isn't, you know, what would you say? Like,
I would say what she, her, one, her, I think there is a necessity to know the history of Black women getting diagnosed accurately, to know that. One, if she doesn't have a specific type of medical diagnosis, because I'm a little confused on that part, because in the Shannon Sharp interview, she did talk about going through the process. So I don't know if she hasn't just done a specific type of test, because there's different type of tests to do it, or if she saw a professional who doesn't necessarily have to do those evaluations to give the diagnosis. Yep. So I'm confused on that part about the medical diagnosis or what she's saying. But I think historically people have to understand that for Black people in general to get a diagnosis, it's twice, three times, four times, five times as hard for our community. Mm-hmm. Because that big book, the DSM, that a lot of healthcare practitioners use to look and see those qualifiers, we don't match up because that historically, the research in that book was done on white men. And because we are not white men, those characteristics are not things that I would typically have, right? So because of that, there's a huge misdiagnosis rate when it comes to Black people in general, when it comes to autism. Add on being a woman, a female, femme presenting, it's even harder because of lack of research, how women, again, portray themselves. So it's very hard for Black individuals, Black women in particular, to get a diagnosis.
Now, would you say the Black women who typically run into trouble finding that diagnosis, what are they typically characterized by? If they're not being called autistic, what are they being called during these time frames?
The misdiagnosis for women is typically depression, anxiety, and eating disorder. Mm.
So you can kind of see how, like, if you're autistic, right? And being autistic means there's certain things that need to occur. There's certain behaviors, you know, that we'll likely see. But if the medical doctor, right, someone like me, isn't seeing that as even a possibility, guess what? Like, I'm running you down a trail that leads to nowhere. And that's why I think it's important, especially for those who, you know, because like I said, it's, you know, I was on Twitter, X or whatever, and I saw the commentary ramping up. Now, again, based off history, Amanda Seales is not a person that people, you know, jump up for, right? Like, to defend, right? And again, we're not here to, you know, defend any past actions. We're not here to do that. But what I don't want is to have other Black women who may say, hey, you know what? I feel like I share some of those characteristics. Mm-hmm. And to see the reaction that Amanda Seales is getting, and then for people to be like, you know what? I'm not even going to go that route because I don't want that fear of being told that I'm mislabeling myself, that I'm trying to, you know, hide under a category and not really seek the help that I need. So that's where I was concerning for me.
I think, one, in watching her interview, and I watched the full 3 hours, a lot of what she said, I resonated with because I've been labeled such. I think that people do not really understand autism and they don't understand how it presents. And I think especially when you are not diagnosed or late diagnosed, people do not understand those socialization factors. So people deem our characteristics as harsh, as mean, and as rude. And oftentimes that's not such. So I did relate to some of what she was saying. I'm not here to defend or say that her actions are this, that, and the other. I'm saying that there is a level of being able to relate in what she's saying. And I think also that people have to understand that when you are late diagnosed, there's a, it's like an ebb and flow of being that, having that realization of, mm-hmm. oh, this is why I do A, B, C, and D. And for her, she may be in that kind of moment of where she's trying to realize a lot of stuff about her childhood, about how she interacts now and things of that nature. So for her, she's having moments of realization as well of like, oh my God, this makes sense type of thing. Mm-hmm. So there's that as well. I think that the idea that self-diagnosis isn't a thing can be harmful because of the fact of us having access to resources. Mm-hmm. People are not going to get an actual medical diagnosis, when insurance doesn't cover it, when I have to pay out of pocket, when I have to do A, B, and C, or have to go to three different types of professionals to get this done, or have to be able to go to one, two, three sessions to get it done. When I go and I'm telling somebody and then they're misdiagnosing me, or they're doing this, that, and the other, there's a lot of things, systemic barriers that keep us from getting diagnosis. So self-diagnosis is a thing, and it is valid for a lot of people. For even in our household, for me to get my diagnosis, insurance did not cover the professional that I was seeing. Right. So we had to pay out of pocket. It was $2,000 for me to get my diagnosis. For our daughter, even though insurance did cover us doing the actual testing, as in she had to do DNA testing, she had to get an MRI done. Mm-hmm. They did cover that. We still had expenses, but the actual pediatric neurologist that we saw, our insurance did not cover that. We had to pay for that.
And you know, it was funny because we had to find one.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so, and again, you know, guys, because you guys hear me talk about, you know, the lack of access, mm-hmm. and how it affects someone who has high blood pressure, how it affects someone who has diabetes, how it affects someone who has heart disease, right? So why wouldn't the lack of access also affect someone who needs to get diagnosed as being autistic? So it's one of these things where, you know, we talk about socioeconomic factors. We talk about how historically there are practices in medicine that, you know, put Black individuals at a disadvantage. You know, regardless of what we're thinking about, we're talking about cancer, disadvantage, hypertension, disadvantage. Mm-hmm. All of these things, you know, carry this inherent disadvantage. So when I see that again, when I see her story, I'm not necessarily like, I saw Amanda Seale in the discussion about it. I wasn't really necessarily thinking about Amanda Seale. I was thinking about, wow, there's going to be other Black individuals who may be feeling that same exact way, who probably watches her story or the podcast episode and feel like, the way she's talking, I kind of, and now they're going to feel shut out. Mm-hmm. They're going to feel shut out because, you know, they don't go see the medical diagnosis of it, right? Which, again, it can be very costly. Like I said, we're in South Florida, and we had to search for a and for those who don't know, in South Florida, you can throw a rock and hit a doctor's office, right? Exactly. There's doctors everywhere here. Exactly. But when you say, all right, I'm looking for this diagnosis of autism, and I got to find the one or two specialists who do that, mm-hmm. right? Like that rock mm-hmm. Becomes
or
very
those
thin.
Those who do it accurately, because, I mean, there are clinical psychologists that you can definitely go to and get these evaluations done. But
I think that's a good point, too. I would even stress that out, because I think a lot of times people hear diagnosis, they think someone like me has to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are different types of professionals, and it also depends on your state that where they can do it. I was diagnosed by a psychiatrist, an MD, a medical doctor. Our oldest child was diagnosed by a pediatric neurologist, also a MD. And then our son was diagnosed by a developmental pediatrician, also a MD. However, clinical psychologists can definitely diagnose. And then depending on the state, there are licensed clinicians who can administer the evaluations. I myself am trained in both the ADOS and the MGDIS, which are two autism evaluations. I don't evaluate people, though I got trained in them just to be able to read the assessments that were done on our children. But being a clinician, I have access to be trained in those. I think there is a lot of misinformation going around about who can diagnose. I think when it comes to Black people and adults, it makes it harder to get accurate diagnosis because in the evaluations, it's inherently biased against Black people. And this has been a conversation that has been happening in the clinician world. There are just certain tests in certain states that can't even be done on Black people because they are inherently biased, right? So we have to take those things into consideration. There is a high misdiagnosis rate when it comes to Black children being diagnosed with behavioral rather than autism. So you have to be mindful of that. A lot of evaluators are not culturally responsive. So a lot of characteristics that we as Black people have, they will deem as a deficit, which will lead to you getting a misdiagnosis. So there are a lot of issues that come along trying to jump through these hoops of getting a diagnosis. And in watching her interview, that was one of the things that I was thinking, like, people do not understand all of that you have to maneuver to get a diagnosis. They don't understand that it's not a just, oh, I'm just going to sit down and then in 2 minutes you're going to give me a diagnosis. No, it does take some time. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of of surveys that you have to take. I had for our child, I had to do one. Barry had to do one. The teachers had to do one. And then the there had to be direct observation on the children, right? So it's a long process also.
Yeah, you're right, Leah. Paperwork, time, money. Oh,
exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And then there's pediatric neurologists. He had our child had to be put to sleep to get an MRI done at 18 months, right? We had to do DNA testing on things that we would know at that time if that certain DNA thing that they were looking for, the genetic component. So it's a lot of rollouts depending on the professional you're seeing, and it is a lot of investments. Amanda is in California, and I don't think people realize that clinicians in California, they charge a wholly different type of rate than other people. Professionals in Florida, South Florida especially, charge a different type of rate because it's about that access. We live in an area that Rick Ross, Serena Williams, that other president, former president, in the area, that means that you're going to charge a different rate. Amanda's in Hollywood, California, right? They're going to be charging different rates out there just because of the people that they serve. If I'm not using insurance and paying out of pocket, it could definitely get up to that price, right? Our daughter, for us, if we're thinking about total, we paid about $6,000. Mm-hmm. I think one of her tests was $1,000. One of her DNA tests was $1,000 that we had to get done. So it can definitely rack up when you're talking about investments of, the
diagnosis.
Of money.
Yeah. And this is just to get the diagnosis. We haven't even talked about all of the
therapy, nothing else. We're just talking about the diagnosis paperwork. Right.
So that's why I didn't want people to be shocked when she said, like, oh, I didn't have $10,000 to give. And I know people are like, it wouldn't be $10,000. Mm-hmm. Hold on.
Yeah.
It's possible.
You think about where she is and what those. I am in a lot of clinician groups, and I know what some therapists. We're not even talking about those who are doing, assessments at that rate. Just your therapist. What they're charging, and they're not charging what I would be charging here in Florida. So we have to take into consideration also where people are located. So it's definitely different, and she's probably not using insurance as well because a lot of people don't cover that type of thing. One developmental pediatrician in our area did not take insurance. So when we had to take our son, first of all, we were on that wait list for like 3 months to get in. It was at the height of COVID when we were trying to go through the process with our son. It was one developmental pediatrician in the area that we could go to. And when we went there, she did not take our insurance. We had to pay out of pocket every time we saw her. It's a lot that goes into the diagnosis. So
yeah, and I love this comment. Said, let me see if I can pin it. Says it makes me think of the people in the community that can't afford to even get the correct. Yeah,
exactly. Which leads to people to do self-diagnosis because they can't afford to do all of that, and it is extremely costly to do, especially when insurance companies are particular about the type of. So insurance companies, depending on the state, will only take a certain level of that professional to be able to accept the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So if you do not have a doctorate level degree, a PhD, you know, went to medical school, of things of that nature, they may not accept the person who's done the evaluator. So here, if I were to do a evaluation, the insurance would not accept it because I don't have a PhD. However, I am trained in it, but they would not accept it and see it as a valid diagnosis. Yep. So then they would have to go and find another person to do the same evaluation to get the same results. Now, I probably don't charge the same amount as someone who is a MD or a PhD level, right? So it would be cheaper to get me and get your diagnosis, but insurance then wouldn't take it. So you have to also take those things into consideration for people. So it's just not a simple conversation to have when it comes to that. I think what I was extremely happy about is that autism was being talked at on that kind of platform, because it's usually not, you know, and especially in our community, to be able to sit on a platform and say, I'm autistic, and be self-assured in it and stand in it. I think that was a moment to just revel in and be had. I think there also has to come some sort of, because I see a lot of people in the community having problems with certain language that was used, or, you know, information that was used. And another thing I say is that for us who have been in the community for so long, we maneuver differently because we have had the time to learn from others. We've had time to read. When people are new, just like when parents who are getting their children's diagnosis and they're new to the world, they may use language that we don't use. They may not know certain things. That's because they're just being introduced to it. So we have to be able to go to them and educate them and not be like, no, you don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do that, because I'm gonna get defensive and then I'm not gonna hear you, right? So if I want you to learn, if I want you to know better and do better, then I have to have those conversations with you in a way that's not gonna make you defensive.
Oh, shout out Dr. Craig. I see Dr. Craig sent us a couple of roses. Appreciate you. it's one of those things where, again, I felt like I was not going to do it justice, right? By just, you know, me coming on. Y'all know me, I can talk. She'll tell you, I can talk. But I figured, let me get not only an expert in the field, especially because I've said we're already coming off our natural high. We just had our fourth annual conference. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
You can get the replays if you want.
Replays will be available soon. So we come off this conference and then this podcast episode drops. And I think, oh, this is going to be great, because I just assumed she was going to talk about her diagnosis during the presentation. But just to kind of see some of the backlash she was getting after she did this live, I was like, oh no, that's not good. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, it has nothing to do necessarily with Amanda Seales. It was just the fact that I know that there's 10, 20, 40 Amanda Seales behind her who don't have their diagnosis yet. And we'll see that backlash that she's getting. And because of the missteps and the words that she's saying, and it's not necessarily coming off correctly per se. And, you know, especially whether you're in the community, outside the community, you may take it a certain way and then kind of run with a narrative that's going to prevent the 10 to 20 to 50 other Amanda Seales out there who don't have their diagnosis yet to even want to pursue it. Or more importantly, even be willing to say, hey, you know what? I think I have this, right? Or I think my child has this, right? That's a whole different story. When it comes to the child, we can do a whole live on that. And whenever TikTok get her stuff right, we'll do like the dual live. Typically when we go live. Now, unfortunately, because y'all know I love TikTok, right? So let me show you how much I love TikTok. Like, I usually will go live on another platform, and I can stream to all other platforms, no problem. But I say, you know, for Thursdays, I always come to TikTok, even though I know they're trying to ban it. You know, we can have a discussion on that. I know they're trying to ban it. But until they ban it, I'm going to be here every Thursday evening, giving y'all the real. So I felt, let me get the expert here to talk her talk. Remember, again, this is Maria Davis-Pierre, CEO, Autism in Black. She is on TikTok. If you type Autism in Black, you'll see her platform. Follow her. Go to her the website. Go, follow her on. She's more active on Instagram and stuff like that. But I'm trying to pull her here on TikTok to talk some more with us. And again, we appreciate everyone joining the lives with the likes, the shares, the roses. Shout out again, Dr. Prey. Shout out to you. I see you. Please, if there's any questions, any concerns, go to her page. Ask. Go to her page. Ask her, follow her. Again, y'all be blessed. Y'all have a great evening. Remember, if you did not catch the beginning of this live, it will be posted.
Autism in I-N Black.
So okay.
A-U-T-I.
Yeah, because I didn't want to say the wrong one.
I-N-B-L-A-C-K. Autism in Black. And I think what we need to leave y'all with and what's important to know is that you really, when it comes to Black people in autism, it's completely different. I think a lot of what is out there is more white autism and white autistic individuals that get to talk and their platforms are shared. But a lot of times people don't hear from the Black, as I like to say, the Black Black side of autism, trademarked. It's just different for us. There's a lot of things that are said on with white autistics that I can't relate to because one, people see my Blackness first, they don't understand that because people see my Blackness first, they don't get to the disability. So it's just that intersectionality piece that is so important to remember when it comes to Black people because of the misdiagnosis, because of the systemic barriers and all of that. We have to advocate and fight for most everything, especially when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to diagnosis, when it comes to accurate diagnosis, when it comes to being treated fairly, equally, with respect in these situations. So please remember that, and also give new people that are entering into the circle, give them some grace because they don't know a lot of the verbiage. They don't know the language. Language is extremely important. Mm-hmm. I will always say that words matter, but I also don't hold somebody who's just entering into the entering into the space at the same level I would myself, because I know that they don't know, and I don't take it in a defense. Now, if I've told you and then you keep doing it, then that's a totally different thing. Mm-hmm. But just remember those things, guys. It's important.
Podcast episode will be out Saturday. This video will be on the YouTube page, especially if they ban TikTok anytime soon. I don't know when they ban TikTok. YouTube episode will be out tomorrow. I will actually have my podcast episode giving my recap of the 4th annual conference out next week. And then she is going to be on there the week after, kind of giving the recap and her point of view, right? So again, I suggest you definitely schizophrenia. I got to get a psychiatrist. I got to get a psychiatrist who wants to join me on live because I want to talk about it too. It's a very interesting schizophrenia topic. I got to find a psychiatrist because I don't want, like I said, I can talk a little bit, but I need my psych folks. Maybe Dr. Dooley. I don't know. We'll get someone on here to kind of help us out. Y'all be blessed. Y'all have a great evening. Remember, hit the like, hit the follow on both of us, right? Her more importantly, especially if you got questions. Bother her, don't bother me.